about to begin a new sugya. So up to now, we've been talking a lot about the minimum size of a sukkah. Now we're going to move into the minimum size of a bayis. And the question is there a connection between the two halachas or not? So comes the Gemara, the first of the Ramakamas on Sukkah Gimel and Aleph, and says, in light of everything that we know about the different opinions about how big a sukkah has to be, whether it's 7x7, whether it's 6x6, whether it's dal namas and dal namas, the Gemara raised the following question: Man Tana l'hadu Tana Rabbanan? Who is the author of the following braisa? Which Tana is the author of this braisa that teaches us bayis she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos potur min hamezuzah? If one has a house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, so that house is exempt from mezuzah. Not only is it exempt from mezuzah, but potur min hamezuzah umin ha'makeh. There's no requirement to build a makeh. The reason being, the Torah says, "V'chsaftu mamzuz be'secha."
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So the Torah says, "V'chsaftu mamzuz be'secha." Torah says, "V'sisa ma'akel legagach ki yivne bayis chadash." So he uses the phrase bayis as well. Uses the phrase bayis. So whenever the Torah uses the phrase bayis, the shear is dal amos. Then the brisa continues. Ve'ena mitame b'nigoyim. The halachas of nigei batim. That a bayis is subject to the halachas of tzaras. They're also bolo habayis. The Torah speaks about a bayis. So once again, the shear is dal amos. Then the brisa keeps on rattling off all the dinim deraisa where the word bayis appears. Ve'eno nechlat b'baret te'ori choma. Because the halacha that if a person owns a house in a walled city, so if you sell it, this mancha yovel nog in the olden days, so then that sale becomes, one could potentially undo the sale within the year, but if a year passes and the original owner doesn't force you to buy to sell back the house, that's what's called nechlat, and the sale is over. So that whole parsha of bati erichoma only applies if it's a bayis. So bayis, once again, is dal amos. Ve'ein chozer lo be'orchei amulchoma. And similarly, the halacha that if a person just built a house, the lo chanocho, and they haven't yet built a bayis, that's an excuse for them to leave the front. They don't have to go out to battle, the Torah says in Pasha Shoftim. So there also, the Torah speaks about bayis. So we just listed off, I think, 5 dinim deraisa where the word bayis appears. One is mezuzah, makeh, tumas tegoyim, bater chomah, and choz meocher mechomah. And each one of these dinim deraisa, the shear is said in terms of dal amos. Then the braisa just rounds off the issue, finishes off the issue by listing several halachas that the halacha of bayis becomes important on the level of the rabbanon. These are all details in terms of hilchos erev chatzeros min haTorah. Anytime you have an area that's surrounded by 3 walls, you're already permitted to carry there. It doesn't matter whether it's quote unquote public property or private property, not who owns it. If it's surrounded by mechitzas of 10 tvachim, so then that's called the Rishus HaYochim in the Torah. There's no problem carrying whatsoever. Midrabbanan, the days of Shlomo HaMelech, so they made a gezeirah derabbanan, that even if the area is surrounded by walls, if it's more of a public kind of an area, like a courtyard, like a lobby of a building, or maybe an extended city, any of these kinds of areas have to be fixed up midrabbanan with a whole complicated half masach zeirah about how to do that, in terms of everybody chips in and buys some challah, matzahs, and it's put in one house, etc. Again, we're leaving out the details of Erev Chatzeros right now. But the bottom line is that all of these halachas concerning both Erev Chatzeres and related halachas of Shittuf and halachas of where you place the Erev, all of these also depend upon the halachas of a bayis. And once again, the halacha of bayis is Da'at Amos. So we find both for Dinim De'araisa, the Shir is Da'at Amos, as well for Dinim De'Rabbanan. Then there are a few other details. That's a detail in Halachas Tchumin. There's a halacha that one is not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amos outside of one's Tchum. What's considered to be outside of one's tchum, outside of one's limits? So if you're in the middle of a forest somewhere and Shabbos begins, so your dalat amos is considered to be your place, what we call kiddin shvisa. That's where Shabbos begins for you. And then you measure 2,000 amos in all directions. That's as far as you're permitted to walk on Shabbos. If you happen to begin Shabbos in the middle of a city, so then the ends of the city limits are considered to be your kiddin shvisa. And you begin to count 2,000 amos from that point. How do you know whether your city has ended or not? So you have to learn the fifth paragraph of Erev to figure out when does the city end. So sometimes you have a situation where I have 2 cities that are very, very close to one another. And the question is, do we view them as one big, big city? Or do we view them as 2 separate cities, a big enough community, in terms of calculating the 2,000 amos? So the Mishnayos in Maseches Erev say it depends upon just how close, how much proximity there are. So if there's a break between the two cities in a certain amount of space, that certain amount of space ends up to be 141 and a third amas. How we got to that number, that's already another story now for now. But if you have a certain degree of break between the two cities, that declares them as two separate and distinct cities, and then the tally of 2,000 amas will begin, unless you have a house in the middle. If you have even one lone house between the cities, that could be a bit sorry if the cities together. That's why Bizman Azeh, most of us don't even think about Tchumen. We go on long walks, we walk all around Tinek, and nobody thinks twice about Tchumen, because Tchumen is, because Tinek is one big, big, big city. And the truth is that even though for municipality purposes, different zip codes, different garbage collections, so Bergenfield is a separate city, but halachically it's not, because you just go to Briarcliff and you realize that the houses just continue. So Tinek Bergenfield is one big, big, big city. And it goes right into New Milford on one end, and Bogota on the other end, and it probably goes to Englewood on another end, and then Teneffelin on another end, and it goes to Foley. A lot of cities, the way we have our cities today, they're just, you know, artificial lines that we say, this is where town, because they put a big sign that says Bergenfield established in 1863 or something. That doesn't mean anything in halacha. As long as the houses continue, that's considered to be one big, big, big city. That's why for most of us, Tchumen are not an issue. Every once in a while, you go out to the mountains, you spend Shabbos in the middle of nowhere, and then you have to start the cheshbon. It's not so poshut. You're in a bungalow colony, so where that bungalow ends, that may be the end of your quote-unquote city, because there's a big break till you get to the next bungalow colony. So you have to keep those things in mind when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
When they create a major artery between the city itself and the mechalik, the city, into two cities, does that...
So that depends. It depends. There's a river in the middle. It depends how big a break the river is. Depends where the house, how the houses are located around the river. So that's the whole fifth parak of Vayikra. A hard parak. That's the. I have very fond memories of learning the fifth parak of Vayikra in Bnei Yeshurun. Those who remember back from the, I don't know how many people remember back. It was a long time ago, when I think it was before I even knew Henry. So my first introduction to Bnei Yeshurun was there was a mechanchem kol. Right, there was a mechanchem kol in the afternoon. That was from 3 to 6. We still lived in Washington Heights at the time, so a couple of us who were in Chinuch were free from 3 to 6, so the Bnei Shurin had invited us to come and learn one Seder every afternoon. I happened to be learning Erev in that year, so I learned Ketz and Abra in the fifth parak in the Bnei Shurin Beis Medrash. The entire winter, I spent learning the fifth parak of Erev right upstairs here. So we have to have a Karas HaTov to that kolel, because of that kolel that we're sitting here today, because that was... Well, part of the responsibility of that class, the history, to know where we came from.
That was Jackie, Steve Katz's son to Uri.
Right. So this goes back. I think exactly how far it goes back, as old as my oldest son is, because I remember my wife was pregnant with him at the time when we started that. The first meeting that I came, I remember I came late to the first meeting with Krasinski and Jackie, and I came to the first meeting because we had just come from a doctor's appointment. So I remember that. It goes back almost 20 years. So that one of my responsibilities, and that caller was, each of us had to give one shiur, one short shiur, sometime during the course of the week to the Olam here. That was the extent of what we had to do, besides learning here in the afternoon. So it worked out for me Tuesday nights. So I gave the shiur Tuesday nights here, and in this classroom, you mentioned this classroom, Dr. Belazon was the first.
Mati.
Right. Dr. Belazon was the first one to walk down, and then Mati, and then Judah Weinberger, and Rabbi Center. That was the first chabura that was given here on that Tuesday night, and that transformed to become the Wednesday night cheer, and that transformed to become Kol Boker. So in case anyone wants to know how we got it in this chus of the fifth breath of Erevin that was learned there 20 years ago upstairs. Anyway, getting back to now that we got a nice reminiscing back to the story. So the din is that in order to connect cities, they're usually connected through houses. So a house has to be a shear of a house. So how much is a shear of a house? Once again, Dalet Amos. So we find that across the spectrum of halachas, whether we're dealing with makia, with mezuzah, with Erevin, everything, you name it, it's a dalet amos. And then the last of the on the list is vashutfin cholkin bo. When it comes to partners dividing up a courtyard, so there are complicated sugyas in the beginning of the first parak of Baba Basra, how do you cheshbon out? So let's say if I have a house and you have a house, he has a house, and now we want to divide up the public area of the courtyard, so how do you figure that out? So depending on the houses that we have, that's how much space we're going to get in the courtyard. So once again, the Bryce here says that how many houses you have, what's called a house. Dalet amos by dalet amos is the house, less than that is not. So the bottom line is that there's no question based on this braisa that there is a shear of a bias, and the shear of a bias is dalet amos. So asks the Gemara, now we relate back to Masechet Sukkah. So at the end of the third line, Lema Rebbe Hivala Rabbanu. Let us say that this braisa is following the view of Rebbe, because we know Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe was the one who was of the opinion that a sukkah has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. So Sukkos Bidal Amos Bidal Amos, it sounds like the same Shir as Abaya, so it sounds like this is Rebbe speaking. But according to the Rabbanon, who say that a Sukkah can merely be 6 Tvachim or 7 Tvachim, the Bishan Bishil opinions, maybe they would agree that Abaya also doesn't have to be Dal Amos. So maybe this Bryce is limited only to the view of Rebbe. The Gemara says, no, not true. Even if this Bryce follows the majority view of the Rabbanon, namely the Beisham and Beisilos, Ad Kan Lokam Rabbanon Hosam Elinin Sukkah. When do we say that the Rabbanon say that a shear of 6 Tvachim or 7 Tvachim suffices? That's for a Sukkah. Because in the magic words, the Diras Arayi, because for a Sukkah, all you have to create is a Diras Arayi of Alagabi Bayis, but for the purposes of a Bayis Diras Kevo, everyone would agree that a Bayis is the Diras Kevo. You don't live in the Diras Arayi. I feel the Rabbanon Modu, even the Rabbanon would agree, the Ispe Arba Amis, Laba Amis, Darba Inshi, Vilolo, Darba Inshi. If it has the shear of Dar Amis, that's sufficient. If it doesn't have the shear of Dar Amis, then it's not called a Bayis. So basically, in a couple of lines, the Gemara just set up for us two different models of Diras. Terms that we're familiar with from the past, but there are two different halachas, and that each one of those halachas impacts on the size, the minimum size of that area. So when we're learning the sugya of bias is mukum keva, dearest keva. So everybody agrees, you better make sure that you have dalad amos by dalad amos. If not, it's not a bias, not deraisa, not derabanan. For no areas of halachas that are bias. However, for the purpose of vilchus sukkah, there's no need to create a bias. For the purposes of Vilchus Sukkah, all you have to create is a Diras Arai. So for the purposes of Sukkah, Diras Arai is sufficient. How much is a Diras Arai? Atal Hamas, 6 Tvachim. Maybe 7 Tvachim, depending on what you think about Diras Rucha from the last Sugya. So the bottom line is, there are two different Sugyas. One's a din of Binyan Keva, Diras Keva, one's a din of Diras Arai, and therefore the Shurim are different. So one can raise almost a Lomda Shashayla about these two halachas that are emanating from the Gemara. But there is shiurim here that are given to us, either Dal Amos, or 6 or 6, 7 by 7. We know when we see the term shiur, so we usually plug in the principle of halacha moshe mesinai. We think shiurim or halacha moshe mesinai. The Gemara says that there are three areas, there are many areas, but there are three areas of halacha that are almost lumped together, that are pure halacha moshe mesinai. Shiurim, chatzitzin, and mechitzin. How do you know what's called a chatzitza for purposes of tefillah naf? How do you know? We understand the chumash, what's called a chatzitza? Kach nemar halacha moshe mesinai. How do you know what's called a mechitza? How do you know all the dinim of lavud and tentvachim, all the details of what constitutes a mechitza, that hopefully we're going to spend a lot of time on this year. Where did it all come from? Gemara says only one place. Kach nemar halacha moshe sinai. And how do you know the halachas of shiurin? A kezayis, a kebeitz, a da'aramis, you know, three tefach. Where did all this come from? Who made this all up? You know, nobody made it up. The Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu the dinim of shiurim. So anytime you see these almost like arbitrary shiurim in halacha, you know that it must be halacha moshe sinai.
We still have machlokes.
Oh, right, we're getting there. Okay? So one could raise a question about these shiurim that we're talking about here, either the shiur of Dar Amos, the shiur of Seven Tvachim. Are these also part of that category of halacha moshe mesinai? It sounds like. But maybe one could argue that these shiurim are a little bit different than some of the other shiurim that we're familiar with. So we give two different examples of shiurim that we find in halacha, and if we understand the contrast between the two, then we can begin to understand where these shiurim come into play, and which really is going to set the stage for us in terms of understanding the details. It's hard to understand the details of the shiurim unless you understand the background, what the essence of the shiur is all about. So one very, very famous shiur that we're familiar with, Kezayis. There's a shiur that, shiur achilas b'kezayis. That shiur achilas b'kezayis is so important for so many areas of halacha, for fulfilling mitzvahs, for brachas purposes, for Isurim purposes. There are a lot of, there are details in many, many areas of halacha that all revolve around kach nemar halacha moshe sinai, shiur achilas b'kezayis. I'll give you another example of a shiur. There's a shiur of 40 saw, that a mikveh has to be a certain amount of water in order to be kosher, 40 saw. Is that the same kind of a shiur, the same type of a shiur? I'm not convinced, I'll tell you why. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that where did the number 40 come from? I have 40 saw in the Chumash. The Gemara says the following. It says in the Torah, "V'rochatz es kol b'sorah b'mayim." The Torah Shmichsav says that you have to wash your entire body, and you have to immerse, you have to total your body entirely. What you cannot do is stick half your body in and then come out and put the other half in. That's not acceptable. V'rochatz es kol b'sorah has b'vasachas. So that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mamashin the Torah Shmichsav, "V'rochatz es kol b'sorah has to be a tefillah b'vasachas." What that teaches us, in effect, is that a mikvah has to be able, physically, to have enough water. Mayim shekol gufa shaladim olibahem. It has to be enough water that a person could fit in. How much is that? How would you begin to figure out what that is? So here, imagine you come down, Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from our Sinai with a Sefer Torah, Shteit in the Chumash, Verachat is called Basaro. So immediately I would have to go to the laboratory and start experimenting. I'd have to try to figure out, well, how much water is that? So how do I know? There's different people of different sizes. So we know that the halacha is generally given for an Adam Bein and Ish. The Torah speaks to regular sized people, regular situations. So the stuff you would have to take, I don't know, take 15, 20 people, line them up and see. So I imagine you would get a slightly different numbers. Some people would be a little more, a little less, depending on the size of a person. So comes the Gemara and says that the halacha requires Mayim Shekoguf Olem Vishia Ruchachamim Aboim Sa. That's a Lashna Gemara. Vishia Ruchachamim Aboim Sa. That the Chacham determined that's 40 Sa. The simple reading of the Gemara, and everyone agrees with this, the simple reading of the Gemara is that when I'd ask you a question, is 40 Sa a Shia Deraisa or not? The answer is, of course it's a Shia Deraisa. But was the number 40 given as the Shia? Not really. Why does the Gemara use the phrase Shia Ruchachamim? Shia Ruchachamim conjures up the image almost that there's the Din Deraisa that you need Mayim Shekel Gufa Olabim. That's the Shia that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That has to translate. How you do that? Every time you build a mikvah, so when the architect comes and wants to know, Rabbi, how big does the bor have to be? So I say to him, Mayim Shekel Gufo Shaladim Olabem. He says, Rabbi, I have to present the. I don't want to bring up that. Threw up the plans to the town, and I have to present the number. I can't just write on the plans Mayim Shekel Gufo Olabem and call it a day. We need a number. So the Torah says, when you build a mikvah, the number is Shiru Chacham, that it's 40 saw. The truth is, some people a little more, a little less, but the halacha is not given for yechid, the halacha is given for the tzibur. So kach nemar halacha. And if you toivel in a mikvah that's 40 minus an ounce, you're not. It's not a tefillah mederaisa, because that is the expression of the ratzon of the Rebbe Shalom. That's the expression of the tzibur of the Rebbe Shalom. Mayim shekel gufa olbem. That's the expression of Olam Hazeh called 40 saw.
Does that permit a kula if there is a chisaron in 40 saw? Because even though it's a shiur deraisa, but it's a determined.
So Yom Mechabin to Rabbi Yirmiah's kasha. So Rabbi Yirmiah turned to his colleague Rabbi Zeir in Masechet Hashanah and he asked that very question. Rabbi Yirmiah says, "What's the din if the mikvah is 40 minus an ounce? Most people probably could fit into maybe 40 minus an ounce. So is that good?" So Rabbi Zeir said to him, "Chalila v'chalila, kol midas chacham kachem." He said, "No, that the shear is once the shear is determined by the halacha to be 40, so that's it. There's no discussion. I can't say, well, Rabbi, I could crouch it a little bit that I can get it into less than 40. No, that's the way the din is. So if a woman goes to the mikvah in a mikvah that's 40 minus an ounce, she's tameh with a nisa kares mamash nida deraisa. She goes to the mikvah with a 40 saw, then the mikvah is kosher. So even though you're right that one could have potentially thought there's a chiluk, but that's exactly what Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir said, forget it. Kol mizacham kachin." That the fact that I just added in that nakuda that shiru chachamim, that's the lashna gemara. So Rabbi Chanan, the honest, the intellectual answer, Rabbi Chanan doesn't learn this parable. Rabbi Chanan learns that shiru chachamim doesn't mean that the chachamim figured out that's the kavanah satara. Rabbi Chanan says that was mamish nimsa from day one, that it has to be 40 saw. Again, the lashon, I'm not sure you read the lashon, but whether you learn Rabbi Chanan pshat or my pshat, you learn other people's pshatim. The bottom line is the Gemara does say that this Shia corresponds to something. There's some connection to Olam Hazeh and the Shia. The connection is that 40 Saw is the correspondence to what an average sized person is.
But maybe that's like we have a Shia of Kazayas and we don't know exactly how much the Kazayas is, so we have to say, oh, it's 3 ounces or it's 2.
No, so that's already, those numbers of 2.9 and 1 ounce, those are numbers that were not instituted. Those were numbers that Acharonim came up with just to try to figure out what the shear is. The shear lahalacha was kezayis. There's no question about it. The Gemara doesn't talk. The Gemara talks about how to figure out how much a kezayis is, but the shear is a kezayis. The Gemara gives you a calculation, but fingers with maislach how to figure out the volume of a kezayis. But that's not the shear. The shear is a kezayis. Here by mikvah, the shear is 40 saw. So we find in halacha certain shearim are almost like a reflection of a physical reality. Is the shear of a kezayis a reflection of a physical reality? What is in the world that corresponds to? What does an olive have to do with eating chametz HaPesach? There's no correspondence whatsoever between the two. The Rebbe Shalom decided, Chachmaso, this is the Shia, that's the way it is. No questions asked. So sometimes we find Shirim that there is some correlation to something in Olam Hazeh. Another Shirim are Lamalam and Azmalam, they have no correspond to anything in this world. That's the Rebbe Shalom, so to speak, it's an arbitrary kind of a Shia that was Nimsa to Moshe Rabbeinu. So now when I'm looking at these sugyas in terms of Dalat Amis, Seven Tvachim, what kind of shiurim are these? Are these arbitrary shiurim? These are just Tam. The Rebbe Shalom said, a sukkah has to be seven Tvachim. Don't ask any kashas. No. the pshat. What did the Rebbe Hashem say to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Rebbe Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Basukos teishvu shivus yom." The word teishvu was official translation was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Teishvu is ke'ein taduru. It has to be a makom dira. Now you have to figure out, what does a makom dira mean? So it's almost like shir ruchacham. The Chacham have to figure out, what does a makom dira mean? Well, guess what? Before you determine what a makom dira is, you have to define the word dira properly. What kind of a dira are we even talking about? So according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we're talking about a diras keva. That's a whole different number. According to Beisham, we said we're talking about a diras aroi. That's a radically different number. Even within the Rabbanan, are we talking about a dira that has to be at least better than a dira serucha? Or is there no such thing as a dira serucha? Throwback to earlier in the week, Shir. So the reason why there's such a fluctuation, why there's such a dispute within the Shir of how big a sukkah has to be, is because there's a different kind of a Shir. It was not nimset to Moshe Rabbeinu, a number. It was nimset to Moshe Rabbeinu, was a concept. The concept was teishvu. Teishvu means a makom dira. What is a makom dira? Depending on what you think a sukkah is supposed to be. And you have to, again, figure out your great understanding of a sukkah to figure out whether a sukkah is following the model of diras keva, diras aroi, diras rucha, not diras rucha, etc. So the stuff, the reason why there's such a machloikis within what the shir of a sukkah is because is it a shir deraisa? Absolutely. Is it a shir like a kezias? Absolutely not. It wasn't nimse Moshe Rabbeinu, a number, and therefore you have such a different difference of opinions as to how we got to where we got to. That's the Pashas Advarim. I say it's the Pashas Advarim because I have to also be honest that there's a Rambam in Perish of Mishnayis that doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam in Perish of Mishnayis seems to say that the shear of seven tefachim was one of the shiurim, almost like Halacha Moshe Mishnayis. It was a shear of seven tefachim. What's very problematic with the Rambam is that the Rambam himself, in Perish of Mishnayis and in Mishnah Torah, goes a great length to explain the things that were real, pure Halacha Moshe Mishnayis were never subject to Machlokes. And yet, to say seven tefachim wasn't subject to machlekes is clearly not a true statement. The Gemara itself has machlekes. So I don't know how to resolve those two Rambam. This puzzle I haven't figured out yet what the answer to those two Rambams is. If the Rambam calls seven tefachim halacha moshe Sinai and then turns around and says that there's a machlekes on it, and the Rambam says you can't have machlekes halacha moshe Sinai, in my book that sounds like a checkmate. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. The Rambam's not bound to my limited understanding. So there's some secret to that Rambam and Perish of Mishnayis, I don't know what it is. But if you don't go down the root of the Rambam and the Perish of Mishnayis, and you understand, seems to be Kipshuto, that this is a shear much closer to the mikvah model than to the kezias model, then you don't run into problems in the first place. But there's a second question, a related question I want to ask, and that's concerning the shear of bias, because here the Gemara is comparing and contrasting the shear of bias. So we have this din deraisa bias, da'aramas by da'aramas, from mezuzah, from makkah, etc. What kind of shear is that? Where did that shear come from, of da'aramas by da'aramas? Is that a pure halacha moshe Sinai in the sense of kezias was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, three tefachim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, da'al amos was given to Moshe Rabbeinu? This is a regular, plain and simple shear that was given kach nimra halacha, and it doesn't necessarily correspond to anything. Or is that not true? Of course, it corresponds to something. What does it correspond to? A makom dira. A bayis is a house. A bayis is a diras keva. People live in houses. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klai Yisrael to put mezuzahs on their batim. Tell Klai Yisrael we have to build a makia on the bias. Tell Klai Yisrael that if we have a nega on the bias, they have a problem. So Moshe Rabbeinu figured out, right, what does a bias mean? A bias means a makom dira. And how big is a makom dira? So you have to go almost to the laboratory. You got to go the same way we went to the laboratory, so to speak, to figure out what the shiva of a mikveh is. I don't mean we went to the laboratory 3,000 years later. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got the mitzvah of mikveh, so he realized right away, we have to figure out what does it mean practically. So it means 40 sah. So Moshe Rabbeinu figured out that obviously the shear of the Torah speaking about a makom dira, a bias equals a makom dira. So makom dira is da'al namas. So again, at the end of the day, does it make much of a difference in terms of is this a shear deraisa? No, it's a shear deraisa. Whether it was an arbitrary shear, it's a shear deraisa. Whether it's a shear that corresponds to some physical reality, but what it may come into significance is determining some of the details. How do you calculate the shear? If you're looking at the shear of da'al namas, so 7x7, through the eyes of a pure, plain and simple halacha, say don't ask any kashas, or you're looking at it basically as a reflection of a makom dira, may make all the difference in the world. So let's begin just to get a quick glimpse of one of the first very real lamaisa differences are. Shahs that come up all the time. It's the second of the Mamakamas to the Rambam. The Rambam Nuchas Tefillin and Mezuzah quotes the halacha, Bayi she'ein lo arba amas lo arba amas patur mezuzah. Straightforward, right out of the Gemara. If it's less than da'al namas, it's exempt from mezuzah. What if you have a building, you have a house, that you can square off four amas by four amas. Ava bishu ogul, even though it's not a square, it's a circle. Oba chamish zavias, that's a pentagon. So it's not a square of dalad by dalad, but you could find dalad by dalad in there. I still don't know enough about geometry to know what the Rambam is describing exactly. And let's read the next line. If ein tzarich loyim, says the Rambam, it's obvious. Shibay arko yeser al rochbo. If it's a rectangle, first he said the geometric shapes of circles and pentagons. Now he's going back to the rectangles. It's not a square; it's a rectangle. It's arko yeser al rochbo. For sure, it's chayv mezuzah. As long as you can square off 4x4, it's chayv mezuzah. I have only one question to ask you, a geometry question. Could someone please describe to me what the Rambam just described?
16 square amas.
So the Pashas Advarim is the Rambam just described 16 square amas. One can accomplish 16 square amas by building a structure either of 4x4, 8x2. Do I hear 16x1, 32x1/2? There are a lot of ways to build a 4x4 squared, i.e. 16 square amas. Is that what the Rambam meant? What did the Rambam mean? No. Of course you have to have a square of 4x4. All the Rambam said is, you can have a square of 4x4 or a rectangle of 8x4. The Rambam never said you could have a rectangle of 8x2. The Rambam says you could have a rectangle of 8x4. What did the Rambam say? Unclear. Machlokes gedolei haposkim, what in the world the Rambam said, and whatever he said, whether we agree to what he said or not.
Well, we have to tell us an 8x4 would be
okay. Notice how the Rambam started off by saying that the ein tzarich loymer. I don't have to tell you the following. So you're asking, oh come on, even an ein tzarich loymer doesn't warrant that. So that's going to be a question, just how serious the Rambam meant with the ein tzarich loymer. So hopefully. Why is he telling you? It's so obvious. The Rambam doesn't tell you the sky is blue. If he doesn't have to tell you, don't tell it to you. So, okay, so we have to go back to this Rambam on Friday. So, again, just keep this in mind that this is an open question within the words of the Rambam. And we have to think a little bit whether this issue of 8x2s, 8x4s, 16x1s, 32x1/2, is that touch on our shayla of what are we trying to create here? Are we looking for a pure halacha that corresponds to nothing? Just an arbitrary number, or are we looking for something more than an arbitrary number? We're looking for a mokum dira. Just think about how comfortable it's going to be to live in a 32x1/2 amma space. So hopefully, Mitzvah on Friday, we'll try to analyze how to read this Rambam through the eyes of what we were talking about now, and then we'll come back to how this impacts in our Sukkot.